Слава Україні!
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 25th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the States of the Union. The SOTU. State of the Union. The SOTU. Yes. Trump's SOTU speech, which was a long one. This was one long State of the Union. Let's walk inside here. It was raining today. But let's not walk on the beach. Let's walk in the city. So about an hour and 50 minutes, the longest in State of the Union history. And his speech was very safe, I would say. I would describe his State of the Union speech as very safe. Lots of medals given out, lots of recognition to various American citizens, to military. A lot of Republicans clapping, a lot of Democrats sitting down, not standing up and applauding anything that Trump was saying. Well, I believe they did applaud when Trump talked about going to war with Iran. I think that was the one time where you had Republicans and Democrats both standing up and applauding is when Trump was talking about war with Iran. But not much on geopolitics, to be honest, not much on foreign policy in this speech. Nothing on Epstein. Zero, zilch, nada on Epstein. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. But he could have said something about Epstein, I guess. I don't know. Maybe talked about the Dow. The Dow Jones is over 50,000. I like it. Nah, nothing on Epstein at all. On Ukraine, about 10, 20 seconds on Ukraine. That's it. That's got to make the Green Goblin and the Europeans very nervous. About 20 seconds. That was his Ukraine bit. He said that he's looking to bring peace to the conflict in Ukraine. He segued into that by talking about how he has ended 8 wars or 9 wars. Cambodia, Thailand, I believe he said Serbia, Kosovo, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and he said something weird about Pakistan and India. He said that could have gone nuclear, but he brought that war to an end. And he said that the prime minister of Pakistan's life was in danger. He was going to be killed or something like that. But Trump came in and saved the day. And then he segued into Ukraine and how he's trying to get peace in Ukraine. And 25,000 soldiers are dying a month. He did not distinguish between Russian and Ukrainian. He just said 25,000 soldiers are dying a month. So that's important to note. He did not say anything about the Russian casualties like he usually does. And that was it. That was pretty much it with regards to Project Ukraine. The one big foreign policy topic that Trump touched on for about 5 or 10 minutes I wouldn't even say 10 minutes. I would say more around 5 minutes was Iran. So he talked about Iran. He said that he prefers diplomacy instead of war, but he is going to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. And he also said a very big lie. He said a couple. He said two big lies when it comes to Iran, which has me nervous. Means that we could be seeing a conflict between the United States and Iran. The one big lie was the WMD lie, where he took a page out of the weapons of mass destruction Iraq lies of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. And he said that Iran is building a bomb, a missile that can reach the United States, and that he will never let Iran get a nuclear weapon. And then he said that Iran is actively pursuing a nuclear weapon. He said that the intel is saying that Iran is trying to rebuild their nuclear capabilities after the Operation Midnight Hammer obliterated Iran's nuclear capabilities. He said now they're trying to start it again, and they want to get a nuclear bomb, which is a lie, because Iran has said that they have no intention of getting a nuclear weapon, of enriching uranium so that they can get nukes. Actually, Araghchi, he said 2-3 days ago, I believe in an interview with U.S. media, I want to say MSNBC, Araghchi, the foreign minister of Iran, said, no way are we looking to get nukes. He actually said that. No way are we looking to get nukes. And then, of course, you have the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, who has a fatwa for no nuclear weapons. I believe that is the order from the supreme leader. So that was a lie. And the only reason I can see for Trump to put that out there is to scare American citizens into approving his strike on Iran. So he did say that, which was kind of troubling. But that was the State of the Union. That's pretty much what he said. The rest of it was hard to follow. The rest of it was hard to follow. It really is hard to follow, I'm telling you. Every 20 seconds, there's a pause. There's an applause from one side of the aisle. The other side is not applauding. Trump was calling out the Democrats who were not applauding. And then he would say something for about 20 or 30 seconds, and there's a pause. There's applause. And I mean, it just went on like that for an hour and 50 minutes. Very tough to follow the State of the Union speeches nowadays. It's not only Trump. Biden's State of the Unions were really difficult to follow as well. That's because Biden had no idea what was going on. He had no clue what was going on. Yeah, Trump said that he's waiting for Iran to say the secret word or the magic word that they're not going to get nukes and they're not going to enrich uranium. That was his statement. And they've said it. They've said it many, many times. But he threw that out there. And with regards to the missiles hitting the U.S., I want to pull up the quote, the exact quote from his speech. He said that Iran is building missiles that will soon reach the United States of America, and I will never allow the world's number one sponsor of terror to have a nuclear weapon. Democrats and Republicans cheered that on. He also talked about how the U.S. is winning all the time, winning so much that people really don't know what to do about it. That's what he said. We're winning so much that people don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we are winning too much. We can't take it anymore. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. he said, we're winning so much, we can't take it anymore. Three pleases. Yeah, people are just sick of winning. Sick of winning. Anyway, let's talk about Project Ukraine, because we had the European B team stop by Kiev and take part in the 4-year anniversary of the special military operation, or as the European cool kids call it, the unprovoked full-scale Russian invasion. Unprovoked full-scale, those are the key words. So the B team showed up in Kiev, the B team. No Macron, no Merz, no 008 Stommer. I was positive that 008 Stommer would be in Kiev. I figured he'd do anything to get out of the UK, but he wasn't there. He didn't show up. You know who else wasn't represented at all at this event? The 4 years? The United States. That's big. That is big. The US had no one at this 4-year event. Not one representative. Not the Secretary of State, not the Undersecretary of State, not the Secretary to the Secretary, to the Undersecretary, to the guy in the mailroom for the Department of State. No one represented the United States at this event, at least not to my understanding. Trump, actually, during his State of the Union, he praised Rubio big time. Rubio got big props from President Trump. Trump said that Rubio is probably the best Secretary of State ever in all of history, and that Rubio got 100% of all the votes to be approved as Secretary of State, something that no one in his cabinet was able to achieve. But no USA in Kiev. That's got to mean something. So who was there? Ursula, of course, was there. Costa, who's the European Council Presidente. He was in Kiev, and the B team, Alexander Stubity Stube. I think I saw him there. He was in the photos, I believe. You had the Baltic nations. They were represented. Donald Tusk was not there. He said, thank you, USA, for blowing up Nord Stream. Radoslav Sikorsky, he sent him to Kiev. I believe I saw Sikorsky in the family photos. Of course, the Green Goblin was there. Le Gobelin Vert was there. Don't laugh. You never know. They'll take any excuse to get out of Kiev, right? All of these leaders might have shown up in Ukraine, and Le Gobelin Vert may not have been there. He may have been traveling around somewhere, but he was there. He was in Kiev as well. And the message from the Europeans was very clear, the message that they brought to Ukraine. Keep fighting. That was the message. Keep fighting. 2 more years, 3 more years. Just keep fighting. What about Ukraine entering the EU? Did Zelensky get a date for Ukraine's entry into the EU? I thought they were going to be fast-tracked and get in by 2027. Well, Ursula was asked about Ukraine entering the EU, and she had no comment. Yeah, she had no comment. They couldn't even get a date for EU entry. Of course, Ursula said that Ukraine is eventually going to be part of the European family and its place is in the EU. Let me be clear, she says. Let me be clear. I hate when they say that in a speech. Let me be clear. Ukraine is on the path to enter the European Union, and it belongs with Europe, but no date. No date, no timeline, nothing. That's got to hurt. That has got to hurt. So Zelensky, he demanded the 90 billion, at least fork over the 90 billion, the 90 billion loan, which is not really a loan to Ukraine. It's a gift to the Green Goblin, more like a gift to the MIC. And the rest of the money gets flushed down the golden toilet. 90 billion, 60 billion of that earmarked for weapons to go to the military companies, and then 30 billion allegedly is going to go to the Alensky government so he can keep the government afloat, and 10% for the big guy, and 10% for the big guy. Mr. President, the big guy is no longer president. Hey, what? No 10% for big guy. This is good, Podolyak. This means we get to keep more money. So he gave a virtual speech to the EU Parliament, Le Gobelin Vert, and he demanded the 90 billion. He demanded the 90 billion, and then the Parliament gave him a 2-minute standing ovation. He gives a virtual speech to the EU Parliament, and he demands 90 billion, and he gets a standing ovation. 90 billion for which the EU member states are on the hook for. Ukraine is not on the hook for this money. They don't have to pay it back. It's interest-free for them. For Ukraine, it's interest-free. For the EU member states, it's not interest-free. The EU member states will have to pay that money back. But for Ukraine, it's a 90 billion gift, or a 30 billion gift. And 10% for some other big guy. I don't know who the big guy is anymore. Maybe Yermak. I don't know. I don't know who the big guy is. But yeah, they gave him a 2-minute standing ovation, the EU Parliament. And Zelensky said to the EU Parliament via video link, and I'm gonna say it in my Zelensky voice. Zelensky said that right now there is an important decision on table. 90 billion in support for Ukraine over 2 years. This is real financial guarantee of our security and our resilience, and it must be implemented. That was what he told the Parliament, and they applauded. Yes, yes, 90 billion. Of course they want to give him 90 billion, right? Keep that washing machine spinning. Of course they want to give him 90 billion. What do they care? The EU citizens are going to have to pay it back. The EU citizens are going to have to go through austerity. Not the parliament members, not the EU globalist elite. Hungary is blocking this 90 billion, by the way. Orban is blocking the 90 billion. Orban is demanding that the Druzhba pipeline gets started up again. He is saying, no Druzhba, no 90 billion. And Gosta, the European Council president, is very upset with Orban. It looks like he even threatened Orban and Hungary. We've got tools, said Gosta. And Gosta doesn't say much. He doesn't say anything, actually. But when it comes to 90 billion, getting that 90 billion into the washing machine, that's when Gosta talks. And it does look like he may have threatened Orban. We'll find a way to get round Hungary and deliver Ukraine's 90 billion loan, the EU vows. European Council President slams Hungary's disrespect over Ukraine loan. And then you have this post on X from Balázs Orbán, who said, we will not let Kiev's blackmail go unanswered. We will not stay silent while Brussels sides with Ukraine against the Hungarian people. In a letter, EU CO President António Costa attempted to pressure Hungary into approving the 90 billion Ukraine loan and warned of consequences if we did not comply. What did I say? We got tools. You better approve that 90 billion or else we got tools, Orban and Hungary. Shameful, absolutely shameful. Hungary is part of the EU, a member of NATO. Slovakia, a member of the EU, a member of NATO. Ukraine, none of those things, but they're all siding with Ukraine. Shameful, absolutely shameful. Some unity, some union they got there. So Kallas' solution in order to get around Orban's veto, Hungary's veto, her solution is to go back to the Russian frozen assets. That is what Stunning and Brave said. She said, let's go back to plan A, which is going after the Russian frozen assets. If the loan doesn't work, we can always go back to using the frozen assets, Kallas told journalists on Monday. as cited by Euroactive, calling it the EU's original Plan A. She's so smart. She is so smart. She's a problem solver. That is why she is in the position she is in, and since I'm walking around Limassol with the camera. You see, problem solved. Just go back to the Russian frozen assets. That's simple. Or you could just turn on the Druzhba pipeline and get the oil to Hungary, and then Orban will vote for the 90 billion. That's a plan. You could do that as well. Just tell Zelensky to turn on the freaking oil. Is it that hard? Really? Is it that hard? 90 billion is on the line for the globalist elite. Reuters is saying that today Zelensky is going to turn on the oil from the Druzhba. We'll see. We'll see if Reuters' reporting is accurate. Oh man, it's going to rain again, isn't it? So I think that covers everything with the events in Kiev. All of the collective West leaders, they posted about the day, the Russian aggression, the unprovoked full-scale attack. Ursula posted about it. Everyone posted about it in the collective West. All of the collective West leaders posted about it. Even Lindsey Graham posted about it. Of course, Lindsey Graham posted about it on X. Macron wrote a huge, long post on X commemorating the day. Macron, I'll read you some of it. Macron started his X post by saying, 4 years ago, Europe awoke to the sound of Russian bombs falling on Ukraine. 4 years of a war of aggression chosen by Russia in blatant defiance of international law, of a people's sovereignty, and of human life. And then you go further down in the post. And Macron said, this is weird. This is a weird part to Macron's post. He said, faced with these losses, and he's talking about the Russian losses, which he puts at over 1 million, Macron, because he's getting his information from the British and from the Ukraine military. He said, faced with these losses, Russia is recruiting individuals on the African continent to send them to fight on the Ukrainian front, often with no prior training whatsoever. The war is a triple failure for Russia, military, economic, and strategic. It has strengthened NATO, the very expansion Russia sought to prevent, galvanized Europeans it hoped to weaken, and laid bare the fragility of an imperialism from another age. So it's a triple failure for Russia, according to Macron. And Russia's getting their soldiers from Africa. That's a new one. Without any training. They're just going to Africa and they're grabbing people and they're sending them to the front lines without any training. All of this coming from a man whose approval rating is at 10%. 10%, Macron. You're saying that Russia has failed 3 times? Your approval rating is 10%. I'm more popular in France than you. I am more popular in France than you, Macron. You're a lame duck president with the lowest approval rating in perhaps all of history. Not just French history. I mean all of history. That's how unpopular you are. And you're saying that Russia has failed and is failing. But anyway, let's talk about France. Good segue into France and the UK. Whom, according to Russian foreign intel, are about to give Ukraine a nuclear weapon, a nuclear bomb, nuclear components to make a bomb. This is what Russian intel intel agents are reporting. You know, the Russian intel agency, I've said this many times, it's hit or miss. It is hit or miss with them. I give them 50-50. When they report something, I put it at 50-50. And so this story came out 2 days ago, actually, from Russian foreign intel, and I decided to wait a full day before reporting this, because they put out a lot of stuff like this, and usually no one else comments on it. At least no one in the Russian government really pays much attention to the reports that they come out with. They don't amplify it. This one they amplified. Zakharova mentioned it. Putin mentioned it. Medvedev mentioned it. Just about everyone. Lavrov. Just about everyone in the Russian high up. They talked about this this intelligence, and they sent a warning. They sent a warning to London and to Paris. Though I don't believe they mentioned, or at least Medvedev did not mention London and Paris by name. He just said any third parties that provide Ukraine with nuclear weapons or the ability to make nuclear weapons, well, they're targets. They're targets of a nuclear retaliation. Now, the Foreign Intel Agency, the SVR, they're saying that according to their intel, Britain and France are considering the covert transfer of relevant European-made equipment and technologies to Ukraine, and are laying the groundwork for an information campaign that would misrepresent the nuclear capacity as domestically developed. So that's option number one, according to Foreign Intel. See, that was quick. Quick rain. Now the sun is coming out. So nuclear components, and then they're going to say that Ukraine did this all on their very own. The other thing that the SVR is saying they're thinking of doing, France and the UK, is sending Ukraine the ability, or encouraging them to build a dirty bomb. The SVR claimed that another option under consideration is to provide Ukraine with a French TN-75 warhead used in the nation's submarine-launched ballistic missiles. It added that Ukraine could also be encouraged to build a dirty bomb, a conventional explosive device laden with radioactive materials designed to cause prolonged contamination of a territory. So either the components and the ability to create a nuclear weapon, or to give them stuff to make a dirty bomb, or encourage them to make the dirty bomb after giving them nuclear material. And the reason they're doing this, according to the SVR, is that they believe, London and France, that if they give them this nuclear capability, then Ukraine will have the leverage it needs as it negotiates with Russia and the United States. Let's go this way. Yeah, let's go this way. Why not? Let's get out of the noise. Apologize there. A bit noisy, I imagine, with the rain and the cars going by. So I don't know. Do you guys believe this? Do you believe this report from Russian intel? The fact that Putin, Medvedev, Lavrov, Zakharova, that everyone is amplifying this and talking about this and warning London and Paris about this, any third party countries, they're warning them, to me indicates that this is probably accurate. Oh, the Russian intel agency also said that Germany was asked about taking part in this, and Germany said no. That's interesting. Germany prudently refused to take part in the dangerous venture. So Medvedev warned not to do this. He said there should be no doubt whatsoever that in such scenario, Russia would be forced to use any means at its disposal. including non-strategic nuclear weapons, against targets in Ukraine that threaten our country, Medvedev stated, and if necessary, against the supplier nations now implicated in a nuclear conflict with Russia. This is the kind of symmetrical response that the Russian Federation would be entitled to under international law. The countries that are the suppliers, that is what Medvedev said. Peskov also said that this is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous report, if it turns out to be accurate, then this would be a big, big escalation. The biggest escalation. What am I saying? The biggest escalation. An escalation that Russia would have to enforce red lines on, no doubt about that. So the message to the parliaments of the UK and France is to tell your very unpopular leaders to reverse course. That's what Russia is telling the parliaments of these two countries. You better sit your leaders down and tell them to calm down and to not go through with this. We'll see how all of this shakes out. There are reports saying that we are going to have the next trilateral meeting between Russia, Ukraine, and the United States in a couple of weeks in Miami. Miami. That is what Witkoff is hinting at. Why would Russia go to Miami? Don't know. Don't know why they would go to Miami for the trilateral talks, but that's the reports that we're getting. And Putin, he was speaking to FSB officials yesterday, and he revealed that there is a plot to blow up Turkstream, the Turkstream pipeline and the Bluestream pipeline. He said that there is this plot to blow it up. Gilligan, the professor, Marianne, and Zaluzhny. And Zaluzhny. Though Zaluzhny denies it. He denies any involvement in Nord Stream. But yeah, now they're looking at Turkstream and Bluestream. They've tried to blow up Turkstream in the past. But that's what Putin told the FSB. So Starmer, I forgot to mention this. Starmer co-chaired a virtual coalition of the willing meeting. Yeah, Starmer was not in Kiev, yeah, because he was co-chairing with Macron. You see, Starmer and Macron, they're up to no good, those two. You put their approval ratings together and it's probably, what, 15%? If that, those two guys. But they're up to all kinds of no good. So they co-chaired this virtual coalition of the willing meeting. And Starmer, he actually said that Putin is standing in the way of peace. Okay. This is coming from 008 Starmer, who is the Prime Minister of the UK, of which Boris Johnson was once the Prime Minister of the UK, who flew to Kiev, Bojo the Clown, and sabotaged a peace deal. But now he's saying that it is the Russians that are standing in the way of peace, okay? And Starmer also said that there is nothing more important than Project Ukraine. Really, Starmer? There's nothing more important than Project Ukraine? Here we go, UK Starmer. Ukraine war, the most critical issue of our age. The British Prime Minister will host a virtual coalition of the willing meeting on Tuesday. You see, there's nothing more important than Ukraine for 008. I can think of some things that are more important for you, 008, and the British establishment than Ukraine. I can think of some things that are much more important. You keep on trying to distract with your Russia bad, Project Ukraine nonsense. No one's buying it. No one is buying it anymore. So should we talk about Iran? Talk a little bit about Iran outside of Trump's State of the Union speech. The CIA is trying to recruit people from inside Iran to destroy their own country. So the CIA put out a video on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube in Farsi, trying to recruit traitors. That's basically what the CIA is looking to do, trying to recruit people from inside Iran to sabotage the government, to overthrow the government, to destroy the country. So they put out a video looking for these people. The CIA is looking for you. So the CIA is looking for traitors. So that was interesting. And I think we're going to have the meeting on Thursday, right? Tomorrow, we should be having the meeting between Araghchi and Witkoff in Geneva with Oman mediating. And once again, Iran, the foreign ministry, is saying Iran is ready to conclude an agreement with the U.S. as soon as possible. We will do everything necessary to make this happen. That's what Iran's deputy foreign minister Ravanchi said. You see, it's not as Trump was presenting it at the State of the Union. Iran is saying the exact opposite of what Trump was saying during his speech. They will do everything in their power to make it necessary to get to a deal. They will make concessions. They are making concessions. But the concessions, at least at this moment, are not enough for the war hawks in the Trump administration. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap up today's video. Where should we start? Should we go back to Kiev? Should we stay in the UK? So Zaluzhny, who has been ambassador to the UK for what, 2+ years? He was speaking at Chatham House and he broke out his English to give this speech, and it was a train wreck. It was a train wreck. But you know what? A lot of people are talking about the fact that Zaluzhny's been in the UK for 2+ years and he cannot speak English. Whatever. Who cares? The real clown world in all of this is that Zaluzhny is speaking to Chatham House. Oh my God. Yeah, he's not. He's not a puppet of the UK intel agencies, is he? No, no, not Zaluzhny. Not that guy. So we have that. We have Boris Johnson. See, I mentioned Boris Johnson earlier in the video. I was foreshadowing. Anyway, Boris Johnson shows up in Kiev. No joke. Yeah, he shows up in Kiev so he can party it up with Zelensky. What is he doing in Ukraine? What is he doing in Kiev, Boris Johnson? He gets off of the train. He looks like a complete mess. Looks more of a mess than he usually looks, right? Because Boris Johnson always looks like he's unkept, never showered, doesn't comb his hair, doesn't brush his teeth. He looked even worse as he got off the train. But yeah, he's in Kiev in Ukraine to talk about the 4-year anniversary. He posted on X the video of him in Kiev, and he says, "I don't want a 5th anniversary." So that was Boris Johnson's message. If it wasn't for you, Boris Johnson, we would not have had a 1st-year anniversary. You're the one. You're the one that sabotaged the 2022 agreement. It would have only lasted for, the conflict would have been 1 month. It would have been a 1-month conflict if you had not shown up in Kiev. And now you show up in Kiev 4 years later, and you're going to tell everybody that you don't want a 5th anniversary. Anyway, that's Boris Johnson. And we had an award given out to dancing queen Sanna Marin from Ukraine. During this event, Sanna Marin, she received the Order of the Princess Olga, first degree. That's the medal that Sanna Marin received from Ukraine. Dancing queen. They brought her back as well. So Olaf Scholz has been brought back. Annalena Baerbock is back. Boris Johnson is back. Hillary Clinton is back. Oh, it's like a nightmare. And now Sanna Marin is back. So she got a medal. And I wonder if Zelensky was at this event. He didn't give her the medal. Some other guy gave her the medal. I don't know who. Anyway, I don't know if Zelensky was at this event. But I wonder if Zelensky is asking Podolyak. Hey, Podolyak. This lady from Fiji that get medal. You think she dance better than me? It's the president. She's from Finland, not Fiji. Oh, I see. Do you think she danced better than me in high heels? No, Mr. President. You're the original dancing queen. Thank you, Podolyak. You're a good friend. Anyway, that's the video. Bedaran.locals.com. We're on Rumble. We're on X. We're on Telegram. Like, share, subscribe to this channel. And check us out on Substack. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. Link in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.